My name is Brad. We haven't met before. Nice to meet you. So what we're about to do is sing songs as an act of worship to God. Will you join us and stand?
A child of wrath.
darkness. But your mercy brought me light, and in your loving kindness raised me up with Christ and made me righteous. You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace. I'm saved by your grace, I'm saved. Lord, you are the light that broke the darkness. You satisfy my soul. My sin has been erased. My sin has been erased. I'll never be the same. You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace. I'm saved. Amazing grace and relentless love. Let's sing that chorus one more time.
Down in the valley.
Well, so if you're new around here, why we're doing this right now is really, it's simple. We're making these songs into prayers, into things that we either believe or things that we want to believe or things that we're thinking about believing. That's why we're singing right now. So this next song is called Listen. We're in this relationship series called Together. And it's all about relating to other people and relating to family and relating to God. And so this song is about the receiving part of relationship, right? I don't love to talk, but I love to talk to my close friends. But sometimes listening can be the hard part of that. So this song is about listening and waiting for the still, quiet voice of the Lord. So let's sing that together. Thank you so much for giving us the ability to hear you, for sending your son who takes away any distraction from you and any separation from you. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, hey guys, thank you so much for singing. Before you have a seat, why don't you turn to somebody next to you and tell them something fun you did this summer.
For me, when I first got to college, I just remember being completely overwhelmed because I didn't know what I was searching for. I didn't know much of anything about myself.
It's a whole new culture. Things just go really fast. You have a lot of homework to do. Sometimes you just get caught up and you get overwhelmed, you get worried.
I was definitely drinking underage, smoking, doing what I wanted to do, but it led to trouble internally.
I got really involved at UC through student government and the Student Alumni Council and in Greek life. That's been really wonderful, but there was definitely a piece that was missing.
My freshman year, I started going to this Bible study that was really strict.
A few of the places I went kind of questioned me for joining Greek life and being a part of a church at the same time. Someone asked, isn't that living a double life, you know, being in a sorority and being a Christ follower? And in that moment, I kind of decided I was going to do the God thing alone for my 4 years.
I felt uncomfortable, and I was sitting at my desk and just didn't quite understand what to do next.
I felt this pressure to be who the world was telling me to be, and then I started feeling a pressure from who Bible studies and who the church was telling me to be. I know a lot of people who have found themselves in a dark place because of those pressures, because you have to be someone that you're not really.
Definitely walking into Uptown felt different, and there was definitely a sense of belonging. Everyone immediately was really welcoming and honest, and that was the biggest thing for me.
When you're surrounded by other people who are either completely steadfast in their faith, and then people who are completely lost too, and are still trying to figure it out, but there's just something about the atmosphere that's different. You're still welcome here. We want you, flaws and all. You don't have to be perfect coming in here.
Me and my friends would actually come together and, you know, send a text at 6:30 saying, hey, are you ready for church?
I think for me, that kind of broke down those walls and kind of gave me that initial sense of belonging.
I started hearing from God, I want you to be who I made you. I want you to find out what that looks like. And when I started understanding what that meant, like what that looked like and what that meant here at Crossroads, I fell in love with it. And I fell in love with who I was and not who anyone else wanted me to be. And that was so refreshing.
It's just very important just to find your community and find your home. And I've definitely found my home at Crossroads Uptown.
It's a really, really exciting thing to kind of realize that you're part of a movement in Cincinnati and you're part of a movement at UC that's honest and thought-provoking and warm, and that it means I don't have to do the God thing alone.
That's completely changed the trajectory of my life.
Hey, what's up, Crossroads? This is Eric, and I'm a leader that's starting a community here in Tampa, Florida. Now, real quick, I'm going to say something about the production staff. I wanted to record this video outside by the pool with the palm trees. They were like, no, the background noise. They were just kind of hating. They didn't want you to be all jealous. So I'll record this later at the palm trees in December. Anyway, hey, this has been just a magnificent journey for us. We've targeted to move to Florida for about 7 years. We finally made it happen last year. We love it. We love the warm weather. And it's just really been a blessing. We've been able to really bring in a family in terms of our neighborhood and our neighbors, and it's just really been awesome. However, like most people have told you before, and I'm going to echo it again, the first thing we thought about was we're going to miss Crossroads. So upon arrival, you know, we did our church shopping. I hate that term, but that's what we did. And you know, we found some nice churches, but there was always that gap. There's just something special and magical about Crossroads. And I'm so thankful of the Crossroads Anywhere initiative. When you really think about it, it's an initiative that really puts us on point of being a borderless church, not defined by building or geography. And it really moves us away from being Sunday parishioners to really an everyday walk in Christ. And it allows us to reach out in a very purposeful and personal way to bring others to come to know God and all that is great that He can do for us in our lives. And I'm so excited to be able to build that community here in Tampa. Now, another way that you can also build into community is through Go Trips. Not sure what a Go Trip is? Well, it's an opportunity for you to establish friendships, not only within the Crossroads community, but also abroad. Still not sure and need more detail? Take a look at this video. Awesome video. Signups for 2017 Go Trips begin August 21st, so make sure you're on the lookout for that. At this time of the service, this is our opportunity to be generous. It's generosity from people like you and like me that fuel life changes here at Crossroads through Go Trips and Crossroads Anywhere. Now, if this is your first time here, just sit back and relax, no pressure, and just hang out. But if you call this place home, you can go to crossroads.net/give and set up a one-time or recurring donation. We're currently involved in a series called Together. So at this moment, let's kind of turn it over to the friendship experts. We're glad you're here.
Okay, action, Lydia. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, what does it mean to be a good friend?
If you're a good friend to a person, you're like nice to them. If they're upset, you can try to make them feel better.
To treat people how they want to be treated. You share things with people.
Help your friends when they have trouble. Serve them and do kind things for them.
Friendship is you don't be mean to each other.
You play and have fun together.
They want to be with you and you want to be with them.
Maybe sometimes share a seat with them.
It's where you have a group of people who love each other and care about each other.
Do you think we need friends?
We do. If we didn't have friends, we'll be all alone and stuff.
You'll sit in your house all day and what will you do?
Everybody has to have a friend or they'll just become lonely and never do anything.
Who are some of your friends?
You want to know their names?
Yeah.
I don't know all the names, but I know a whole bunch of them, but that will be very long.
Isaac, Logan, and Camden.
Erica, Chloe, and McKenna.
My sister, Caitlin.
Who is your best friend?
I'd say that God is my best friend.
Brayden, Finn, Sabrina, Brayson, Adriel, and Mimo.
Those are all your best friends?
Yeah, the really best friend.
What are some of the favorite things that you like to do with your friends?
I like to go to the pool with my friends, Kings Island.
We play on our trampoline.
And hide and go seek. Playing outside. Those are all fun things you can do with friends.
Do you think it's hard to make friends, or is it pretty easy to make friends?
Well, a couple was hard, but a couple was easy.
It's pretty easy.
Pretty easy.
You just see people that you might like to hang around with. You go up to them and just start being nice to them, and
you go and just start playing together.
Sometimes I ask them.
They say yes, and then you're friends? Just like that?
Yep.
Some just want to be my friend, and some are already my friends.
So the people that want to be your friend, do you say, yeah, be my friend?
Yes.
Do you think life is better with friends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think life is better with friends because it makes everything better with friends.
Because you get to do a lot of stuff with them.
Because it helps us bring each other to God.
Yeah, that's it. Good job.
Wow.
Thank you.
gotta love the kids. Yes, we're talking about relationships in this series. I'm Chuck Mingo. If we haven't met, good to have you with us. If you're online or if you're in a room, excited to have you with us. And I have to say, all those kids were just, it was just so cool to watch them answer that. But my man Brendan, he is really doing the friend thing big. I don't know if you caught that. So the question was, who's your best friend? He went on to list 7 people, including Nemo. You know you're doing friendship big if Nemo is your best friend. So I'm trying to be like Brendan on the friendship front. But yes, we are talking about what does it look like to do life together. We're better together. God has wired us to be together. And we're looking in this series about what does it look for all of us to take a next step toward being together, being in community. Last week we said relationships are the only way you change. Relationships are so powerful that they can change the world. And last week we got to see that as we were joined by our partners from South Africa and partners from India who are doing great work to advance God's kingdom. And we just got to see the power of relationships changing the world. And I also want you to know relationships are changing lives right here in our city, in our region. And one of the places that's happening is at the CityLink Center. How many people have been to the CityLink Center, excited about what's happening at the CityLink Center? I get to go down there on a regular basis, and I'll just tell you, I am always blown away by the fruit of what's happening through relationships there. I don't know if you know that every year since CityLink has opened, they have double-digit growth. They have experienced more and more people being blessed through this vision that with a co-location of services and relationship, people in generational poverty can actually move to thriving, not just financially, but thriving relationally, thriving spiritually. And when you go down to CityLink, you get to see that play out in the lives of real people like Michael and Carlos. Michael and Carlos are in relationship with each other. These two men are on a journey with each other of helping each other grow and achieve the different things. Carlos came to CityLink after one of his friends had gotten her GED and was able to get an incredible job based on overcoming that obstacle and being able to have that opportunity afforded to her, and it happened at CityLink. So Carlos came to the CityLink Center to get a GED, and he talked about how challenging it's been, and it's a tough journey. He said, man, math is hard. All this stuff is hard. And yet his relationship with Michael is one of the reasons he's continuing to engage and making progress toward that GED and toward the opportunities that will come with that. And to talk to Michael, the volunteer, he'll tell you, hey, you know what? The truth is, I am being changed because of my relationship with Carlos. It's a beautiful, symbiotic relationship that's happening at CityLink Center between clients and volunteers. And because of the growth at CityLink, they've expanded. They have 3 new partners that are a part of what they offer there. And so it's a great opportunity for you to engage at CityLink as a client, as a volunteer, or to just financially support what's going on there. I don't know if you know this or not. The number one source of clients from CityLink are Crossroads members. I don't know if you knew that or not. So in our community, people are being blessed by what's happening at CityLink. And it's also one of the biggest sources of volunteers at CityLink as well. And we want to continue to do that. So if you want to engage as a client, engage as a volunteer, or financially support, go to citylinkcenter.org and plug in. Great opportunities to be a part of relationships that are changing lives and changing our city. All right, today we're talking about friendship. You just need to know, you know, if you're new to Crossroads, you just need to know that I'm your pastor and the soundtrack of my life is 80s and 90s hip hop. You just need to know that. So If you're comfortable with that, then we're going to get along great. And I can't talk about friendship without throwing a little Houdini in the mix. So, yes, I got to throw a little bit of Houdini in the mix. But we're talking about friendship today. And last week, Bishop Moses Sono from South Africa taught us a phrase in Sotho. And the phrase is moto kimoto kabato babang. And what that means is a person is a person because of other people. And that undergirds what we're learning in this series. We are wired to do life together. We cannot experience the fullness of a relationship with God. We cannot experience the fullness of the potential in our lives if we are not intentional about relationships, particularly relationships with people who help us grow spiritually. And so in this series, we said the goal is that all of us, everybody that calls Crossroads home, if you're connected via anywhere, if you're in a site, that you would be taking a next step toward relationship, a next step toward being in community, being in groups with people who you can grow with and you can do life with. That's what we want for everyone. And today, we're going to talk about friendship because that's really at the root of any of those relationships. It's friendship. But I want to start, and maybe an unlikely place, I want to start by talking about some of my relationship fails. Am I the only person who's had a couple relationship fails, like, you know, didn't work out? Friendships that have been a little bit challenging. So I was thinking about some of these this week. One of my relationship fails is I remember the time when I was stolen from by a friend in college. And that was a relationship fail. How about this one? I remember when I was in grade school, and I was actually set up by my best friend to be jumped by like 25 guys. And that was a major relationship fail. Major relationship fail. And I also think about the time when I was in college, and one of my friends totally tried to steal my girlfriend. Anybody ever had that happen? I don't know. I mean, totally tried to steal my, and it didn't work because I married her, sucker, so take that. That's what you get for trying to steal my girlfriend. I just had to get that off my chest this morning. I don't know. So, but I also can think of times when I was on the giving end of being a bad friend. I have a friend of mine that I just completely lied to because I didn't have the courage to deliver some difficult information that he really needed to hear, but I didn't think he was ready to hear. So I just passed on it. I just lied. One of the worst things I ever did as a friend, probably the worst friend that I've ever been to someone, is when I was in school. A friend of mine named Bill, he was, you know, kind of cocky from time to time, and I thought it would be good to teach Bill a lesson. We had a circle of friends of six that were really close, and I thought it would be cool to have the five of us completely shun Bill and not speak to him for a matter of weeks. And I watched it wilt him, literally crushed him to the point where his parents got involved because he was depressed and didn't want to come to school. And for sure, that was the worst friendship fail that I've ever been a part of. And that was all on me. And I had a chance to apologize to him, but I know he will never forget that. And quite frankly, neither will I. And so why do I start by talking about maybe the not so good parts of friendship? I do it because if when you hear that this series is about getting into groups and you shudder, I get that. If when you hear that this is about deepening relationship with other people and you're like, I'm not sure, I understand. We all have been hurt. We all have horror stories. We all have relationship fails. You know why? Because relationships are hard. They are really hard. And you know what makes them hard? Relationships are hard because they require vulnerability. You gotta let people in to have relationship. You've gotta trust people with parts of you that are sensitive to have relationships. And here's the thing, no matter who you choose to be friends with, here are two facts that are never, ever, ever untrue in any friendship. The person you choose to be your friend is not perfect. And neither are you. So, vulnerability comes with risk. And yet, the very thing that makes relationships hard is the very reason we need them, because I need to be vulnerable to other people in order for me to experience all that God has called me to be. I need other people to help me in that. Somebody help me understand this by breaking down the word intimacy to me. Intimacy isn't just about sexual relationships. Intimacy is about getting vulnerable in any relationship. And if you break that word down, it is into me see. We need people who can see into us potential that we can't see in ourselves and help us live out that potential in our lives. We need people who can see into us the things that get between us and our potential, and they're willing to call those out and call us to a higher form of living, to call us to be more of the people that God has created us to be. We need other people. And yet we struggle with that. We struggle with that. One of the statistics that I know is true because we've asked you guys, and it is a challenging thing to think about. If you look at your row right now in whatever site you're in, if there are roughly 10 people in your row or if there are more, think about it this way. We know at Crossroads, only 3 of every 10 people that you see in your row have a connection with someone else at Crossroads outside of the weekend. Only 3 in 10. And when I look at that number, it tells me that there is a lid on the power and life transformation that's happening in our church if only 3 out of 10 people are in relationship with people who can see into them and call them to be all that God has called them to be. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with only 3 out of 10 people experiencing that? I'm not okay with that. And I don't think God is okay with that either. And yet I recognize it's a challenge. And it's not just a challenge here at Crossroads. This is a challenge in our culture right now. It is hard to form and keep friendships in the world that we live in right now. In fact, here's a sobering statistic for you. This came from an article from New York Magazine. It says, in what may be among the saddest pieces of social psychology research published in quite some time, a study in the journal Plus One recently made the case that as many as half the people we consider our friends don't feel the same way. Just let that sink in for a minute. Half of the people that you would call a friend would not put you on their friend list. So just look at the person next to you and tell them, it's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. Well, that just tells me we got work to do. We got work to do. That even the best of us can at times struggle with friendship. And so today we want to look at what are things
Chuck.
That get in the way of friendship? What are things that
Chuck.
Kind of... Yes?
Are you done yet?
Actually, I'm just getting started. No, I'm not done yet.
You invited me to come here because I needed to talk to you about things that are important in my life.
And I would love to do that, but just not right
just,
now.
I just need 5 minutes, all right?
5 minutes?
Yeah, I just need to... That's so many stairs. Chuck, I just need you, and I need you right now.
You know what? This is just not a good time. Maybe after the service?
After the service. Don't you understand? I need things. I need things from you, Chuck. I need to stay at your house tonight.
You can stay up. How do you go from 5 minutes to staying at my house?
Because I need things like that, Chuck, from you.
Okay.
Like traveler's checks. Can I please have traveler's checks, Chuck?
Why do you need traveler's checks from me?
Because I need to pay for the things that you gave me the last time. Chuck, please. Look at all these people. I suppose you need to give them your attention, right?
Kind of
they
for a couple
need
minutes,
things.
Yeah, for,
I'm
for
sure they
minutes,
need
yeah.
things like they need someone to take a look at a rash that the doctor said the salve would make go away, but came back again, right?
Mm.
I need you, Chuck.
Yeah, that you might have crossed the line right there.
Chuck.
I'm not sure. I'm certainly not gonna look at your rash on stage. So just like maybe we can talk after the service is over.
All right, after the service.
After the service.
Okay, I just need 10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay.
Well, like an hour.
An hour?
That's part one of 4, but we can work through it. Just hurry
okay.
up, Chuck.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, the truth is, I actually do know that person. I have a nickname for him. I call him Ted the Tick. Ted the Tick. Maybe you know someone like this. You could call him a leech. You can call him a vampire, a Hoover vacuum. What gets in the way of friendship? Sometimes people like Ted get in the way of friendship. You might call him a very draining person. They just kind of suck. Literally. They just, yeah. Ted's the reason I'm thankful for caller ID. Let's just put it like that. And the challenge with Ted, it's all take and no give. And you know what? That just gets frustrating after a while. That really gets frustrating in a friendship. If there is all take and no give, that is a barrier to friendship. And it's one of the reasons that the antithesis of Ted is generosity in a friendship. A friend who gives is a powerful, powerful builder of a friendship. So, you know, we see this in the Bible. We see in the Bible a great picture of friendship in a woman named Ruth. And Ruth has a story that shows up in the Old Testament of the Bible. You can read it in one sitting. And really, Ruth is in the Bible. She is counted among the greats. She is counted along the lineage of Jesus, in fact, because she was willing to be generous as a friend. Ruth was married to a man who was from the nation of Israel. She was not from the nation of Israel. And over time, her husband passed away. And not only did her husband pass away, but over time, her father-in-law passed away and her husband's brother passed away. So you have two women who were married to brothers and a mother-in-law together. And the mother-in-law says to both of these girls, hey, listen, you don't owe me anything. You were married to my sons, but they're dead now. Go back to your people. Maybe you can still get married. You don't owe me anything. And the one woman, she says, great, I'm out. I'm going. But Ruth actually says to her mother-in-law these words in Ruth chapter 1. She says, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." Now, you actually may have heard these words at a wedding. These words are so powerful that even though they were written in the context of friendship, couples use them to make their vows to each other. You know why? Because Ruth is modeling generosity in a friendship. She's saying, "I'm not in this friendship for what I'm going to get from it. I'm not in this friendship to just take, 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 take. I am in this friendship to give, even as I've received from you. I'm in this friendship to offer to you, even as you are offering to me." In the New Testament of the Bible, we see this theme of generosity and relationships continued. In Galatians, a small letter to an early church, in Galatians chapter 6, it says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." What does that mean? It means that if you are a follower of Jesus, your life is marked by generosity, or at least your life should be marked by increasing generosity to who? To everyone. And yet, in the midst of that, there is a distinctive call to be generous to those who are on the same journey as we are to follow Jesus. This is talking about generosity, and generosity doesn't only mean money. It doesn't have to mean, although it can mean, letting a friend sleep on a couch. I don't think it ever means traveler's checks. I'm not sure about that. Maybe it does. But what it means is it's a generosity of time. It's the generosity of encouragement. It's the generosity of honest feedback to a friend when they need it. It's the generosity to be emotionally available to a friend when they need you. I'm really thankful to have great friends in my life that model this well for me. I have a friend named Rob, and Rob is a very generous friend. And he's not generous because he gives me a bunch of stuff. Rob is generous because when I am with him, Rob is about me in that moment. Rob is about engaging me in that moment. Rob is about calling out the best in me in that moment. Rob is about calling out the challenges in my life in that moment, because Rob is willing to be a friend who offers. It's not just a needy relationship. It's not just take, 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 take. But there is a beautiful give and take that has built love and has built trust and has built acceptance in our friendship over the years. Truth is, if we are overly needy in a friendship, or if we just go into a friendship to take, it stifles the growth of that friendship. But when we are generous, generosity actually builds a friendship.
My name's Ned. What's your name? Do you have children? I don't have children, but I was reading this amazing article on parenting the other day, and I'm pretty sure I know more than most parents would. I'll share it with you after the service. Hey, do you like podcasts? I love podcasts. I was listening to this podcast the other day about going to church and having a one-on-one relationship with God. And they were saying that when you have a one-on-one relationship with God, that it extends your life expectancy and you can become a happier person. Are you a happy person? I'm a happy person. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I think I'm super happy. I'm like a little fuzzed out on caffeine maybe right now. I love coffee. I love coffee. Do you love coffee? I love coffee so much. I was reading an article about coffee, and they were saying that you probably shouldn't add sugar and cream to your coffee because occasionally you can break the fragrance of the bean. Isn't that interesting? I really love to know what region my coffee was artisanally crafted in, and I really don't want to mess that up at all. Have you ever thought about getting into hot yoga?
Oh, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. We'll just stop there, Ned. Yeah, I know that guy too. His name is Ned. I call him Know-It-All Ned. You know, it's the friend that you can't get a word in edgewise with. The friend that, you know, even though you're with them and you think it's a peer relationship, you just have this nagging sense that they just think they're better than you. And sometimes they actually tell you that they think they're better than you. I mean, you might call them the know-it-all. You might call them the advisor. You might call them the me monster if you're a Brian Regan fan. You might call them Captain One-Upper. But Ned really kind of grates you over time. And you know what the issue is? With Ned, it's always about Ned. It's always about them. And at the root, Ned struggles with pride. Ned struggles with pride. I tell you what, you want to kill a friendship quickly? You want to kill a relationship really, really quickly? Let pride begin to fester in that friendship, and it will die. It's one of the reasons that we're aiming our sights at groups, aiming our sights at making sure more of us are availing ourselves to be in community with other people. You know why? Because if I was, I don't know if you believe in a real devil, but I do. I believe that there is a spiritual enemy that you have and I have, and he sets his sights on us. And as he sets his sights on Crossroads, what would he most want to do? What could he do that would tank, disturb, destroy the good work that God wants to do in this place? I tell you what, if he could keep you proud, and because of pride, keep you isolated from other people, He wouldn't need to do anything else for you to languish and die. And that's what he does. And that's what he does. And that's why over and over in the Bible, we see a call for humility in the context of growing relationships. You want to grow in a relationship? Humility has to be a part of that relationship. In Philippians chapter 2, it puts it this way. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." I really like this passage. Let me just break it down a little bit. First, it says, in humility, you count others as more significant than yourselves. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that you degrade yourself, but it means that if there is an opinion, I need to count other people's opinions who I trust. I need to have the humility to think that maybe they can speak into my life things that I can't see in my own life. So I need to count their opinion as more significant than my own. I need to be willing to look to their interests and not just my own interests in the friendship or in life. I like going to the dictionary and just looking at the basic definition of words, because I think a lot of times words lose their meaning in our culture. One of them is humility. Here is the first definition that pops up for humility. Humility is a modest view of one's own importance. I think one of the things that we want to cultivate if we want a healthy friendship is we need to have a modest view of our own importance in the friendship. It doesn't mean we are unimportant in the friendship, but man, know-it-all Ned leaves no space for you to be you in the friendship. Know-it-all Ned leaves no space to be grown or stretched by you in the friendship. And we want to be people who have humility in the context of our friendships. We can't get the best out of friendships unless we have a modest view of ourselves in the relationship. Pride kills friendships, but humility strengthens friendships.
Yo, Mingo!
Yes.
Stone cold crushing it with the message. What?
Thank you, I guess. Thank you.
Hey, quick question. Aren't you the guy that was in Snakes on a Plane?
That was Samuel L. Jackson.
You two must have a similar complexion. Listen, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just talking to my really good friend here. What's your name?
Pat.
He even has a name tag. You didn't look at his name. That's terrible.
Pat and I were talking about something really sad that's happening in his life right now. His great-grandmother's going through some hard times. And Pat, I just want to let you know that I'm ready to help you. Not right now. I'm not ready to help you right now, but because I've got a thing. I got a thing that I forgot I got to do. My house is on fire, but I. But I want you to know that I'm here for you. And when I mean here for you, I mean I'm on Facebook for you, okay? I saw the post about your great-grandmother, and I want you to know that I'm committed to put a sad emoji or a crying animated GIF on that post today. Oh, wait, I'm gonna do you one better. I'm gonna actually leave a comment, and I'm gonna say you are in my thoughts. You're welcome. Well, listen, Pat, I have got to run because I got that thing extinguishing my house. That's right. but listen, I just want you to know, if you need to get a hold of me, send me a text. I don't check text, okay? My read receipts are off. You won't know that I saw it, okay? But
Facebook.
Yep, Facebook. You're in my thoughts and prayers. And I mean that literally on Facebook. You're not actually in my thoughts and prayers, okay? Because I can't. I don't do that part, but I'm posting about you, buddy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know him too. I call him Shallow Sal. That's Shallow Sal. You know, we know there's a difference between drinking buddies and people who actually have friendships with. We know that. You know, there are some people in our life that, man, if you want to go grab a cup of coffee, you want to hit a movie, they're the first ones to respond. Yeah, I'm in for that. You got free tickets to a concert or there's a great cookout, they're the first ones to respond. But when crisis hits, when life gets hard, a lot of us, man, it's crickets. We got a lot of friends at a surface level, but we don't have friends that go deep with us. You know, some of us have coworkers who ask us every Monday morning, hey, how was your weekend? But they don't get off of their phone long enough to actually hear your answer. A lot of us have people who we know are our Facebook friends that send that sad emoticon when things difficult are happening in our lives. They say they're praying for us, but we know they're not. And so we have to ask ourselves, man, why is it so easy to fall into shallowness? I have to admit, you know, of all of the ones that we've talked about today, this is the one that personally convicts me the most. Because it is so easy in our culture to be connected and not present. I mean, my wife will, like, throw my phone and break it the next time I check text at the dinner table. You know what I mean? It's easy for me to be connected but not present. And why is that? Why is that so hard for us? I think it's the curse of our digital age. I think it's the curse of our culture right now. I came across an art project that for me was really personally convicting and very eye-opening. It's called Removed, and we have a series of pictures to show you. The only thing that's been removed from these pictures are the digital device that people are interacting with in these pictures. And so in all these different settings, we see how easy it is for us to be connected. We're connected to the screen, but we're not present with the very people that we do life with. And I want to probe into that a little bit. Why is that? Why is it so easy to be distracted by a screen, even when there are real live people that we could be relating to? I think it's because, you know what, the truth about the screen is, this screen, the relationships I have through this screen, the relationships I have through social media, they're nice, they're neat, they're tidy, and they happen on my terms. If I want to go and get entertained, I'll sort and filter to be entertained. And if I start to hear things on here that I disagree with, that are challenging me, that might be stretching things I need to hear, I'll just defriend you. And then I don't have to deal with that anymore. I think it's easy for us to assume or to go after the nice, neat, tidy picture of friendship that this sets up. And the truth is, real friendship is not nice. It is not neat, and it is not tidy. Real relationships in real time are messy. And you know what? We need them. We need them. If we're not willing to engage in the messiness of friendship, we will never be known and we will never know other people. If we're not willing to kind of not deal with the tidiness of what it really looks like to go beneath the veneer, we will never grow and we can never build into other people to grow. We will never know love, really know love, and really be able to love another person if we're not willing to risk connection. Moto kimoto kabato babang. A person is a person because of other people. Because in relationship, in friendship, we get three things that we desperately need and we can't get any other way. In a real friendship, you experience love. In a real friendship, you experience level of trust. And in a real friendship, you receive acceptance. And at a human level, because of the way we're wired, we all want love, we all want trust, and we all want acceptance. And you know what? When you're willing to risk connection and you begin to experience those things, man, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. You will count it as one of the greatest blessings this side of heaven when you have that kind of friendship. And so every week in this series, we're looking at people who are finding that kind of friendship. And this week, we want to hear the story of Seth. So let's hear his story together.
Early in 2015, my wife and I sold our house. We were actively looking for a new church. My wife was very intent on attending Crossroads, and I didn't want anything to do with it, really. It quickly became an incredible community for me, because soon after that, my 7-year-old son was diagnosed with what's called Stargardt's disease, a retinal condition that leads to legal blindness, and there's no cure for it. And currently there's no way to really stop it. It just kind of does its thing. It just shattered our world. And I reached out to one of my close friends and a lot of my close friends just for prayer and just everything that we were kind of struggling through. And one of those close friends reached out to an acquaintance of ours and immediately said, he needs to come to the next group. We need to just pour into him. It's something that it's likely that he needs right now. I agreed to do it because, I mean, I literally was just gasping for air at that point. I felt like, you know, the world was kind of crashing in on me. I went, and I went to the first dude group not knowing really anybody in the group.
With Cam being gone?
These guys that I'd never even known, never even met before, most of them. sat and for an hour and a half, 2 hours, just cried with me, prayed with me, just poured out into me. And then as soon as it was all, that first meeting was over, Sean said, "Hey, I think I'm going to speak for the group here, but you need to come if you want to the dude group weekly." And I was on completely on board. This dude group has completely changed my life. Praying for Luke, praying for his healing, praying for me, kind of holding me up when I couldn't really stand on my own. I don't know where I'd be. The initial diagnosis was, hey, this is the way it's going to be. This disease doesn't typically show up, actually start manifesting itself until like 16 to 25 years of age. So a 7-year-old is pretty early on the spectrum, and anecdotally, the word was that it was going to get bad, and it was going to get bad quick. And so as part of this disease, he goes in and sees a specialist once every 6 months to 12 months. And he just had his checkup in June, and things had stabilized. And so for us, that was just, it was a big moment, because God had heard us and kind of done something that wasn't supposed to happen. And his doctor was like, "This is great. You know, we just need his retinas to hold on. Just hang on, because there are things that are coming down the road that could help him." And so when I heard that, it was a testament to me of the prayers of everyone around me, but most importantly, just what my dudes had done for me and the prayers that they continue to pray over my family. And through my dude group, I've really come to really be excited about what God has in store for our life.
It's great. It's a great group. It's a great group. How did they become a great group? The secret is there are no secrets. The shortcut is there are no shortcuts. You know what I see in that group? I see generosity. I see a love that's built on generosity. You know, the generosity of the guy who saw Seth and said, "Dude, you need to come. We just want to offer ourselves to you." I see generosity, and I see it making that group grow in love. I see humility. I see Seth's humility to say, "Man, I'm at a crossroads in my life. I don't know where else to go. I will receive counsel from guys I don't know. I will go into a group and bare my soul." I see that, and I see that humility creating an environment of trust. I see all of them modeling vulnerability, getting real, getting to each other's lives, and that vulnerability leads to acceptance. There are a group of guys who are experiencing love, trust, and acceptance because they were willing to risk humility, generosity, and vulnerability. So what's the big takeaway? What's the kind of big idea today? It's if you want to be loved, trusted, and accepted in your friendships, if that's what you want, then be generous, be humble, and be vulnerable in your friendships. We had some fun today with Ted the Tick. You know, Ted the Tick is afraid. He's afraid to give in a friendship. He's afraid of what he'll lose if he gives in a friendship. But you know what? That's keeping him from love. You know it all Ned? Know it all Ned is afraid to be humble. Maybe because he's afraid that he won't measure up if people really know the things that he doesn't know. But you know what? That lack of humility doesn't allow people to trust him, and it doesn't allow him to build trust with people. And Shallow Sal wants to keep things at arm's length. But the truth is, his fear of going beyond the veneer is keeping him from really understanding acceptance. You know what? You know when you're accepted, when people know your stuff and love you anyway, but you can only get there if you're willing to get deep and not stay shallow. And that's what God wants for all of us. So I wonder, which of these three things are getting in the way of your relationships? Are you most challenged to be generous in relationship? Are you most challenged by being humble and not being the know-it-all in a friendship? Are you being challenged right now to just get vulnerable and stop being shallow with the people that are hanging around in your life? I don't know which three of those is the biggest barrier to you going to the next place in friendship, but I know that you know. I know you know what it is. For me, as I've been thinking about these three things, the call in my life is just a call to get increasingly vulnerable in new friendships that I'm forming. You know, I realize that there is a risk every time I kind of ante up to the table to begin a new friendship, to begin a new group, to just be vulnerable with my life, be vulnerable with my imperfections, and just let all that stuff be. And so one of the things I'm doing in this season is I'm starting a new men's group. I'm starting a dude group, and I've invited some guys to be in this group with me. And for all of them, my commitment is we're going to meet at my house. And the reason we're going to meet at my house is I don't want you to just know me as Chuck the pastor that maybe be able to say some things from stage that make sense. I want you to watch me struggle to get my kids to stay in bed. I want you to be with me when my wife and I have had a really difficult time communicating, and it's obvious that there are missteps in our relationship right now. And I want you to be there when things are going well. I want you to have full access to my life, to know me for me. That call to be vulnerable is a challenging call, but that's what God is calling me to, and I don't know what it is for you. I don't know if it's generosity, if it's humility, or maybe like me, it's vulnerability, but I do know this. I know you can go to a new place. And I know when you go to a new place, you'll experience something in relationships that's been missing from your relationships. And I also know this, you cannot do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. So the call today is not for you to roll up your sleeves and work really hard to be humble. Roll up your sleeves and work really hard to get vulnerable. Work really hard and try to be generous. No. Here's the key to growing to be the kind of friend that ultimately we want to receive in our life. In 1 John chapter 4, we see the key. This whole book, 1 John, short letter in the New Testament, is all about relationships. In 1 John 4:16, he says this, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." That's the key. You want to grow in vulnerability? You want to grow in humility? You want to grow in generosity? You can and you will when you believe at deeper and deeper levels that that's the kind of friend Jesus is to you. Do you know that Jesus got vulnerable for you? Do you know that? Do you know that most historians agree that the Romans had a habit of crucifying people not in a thin loincloth, but actually crucifying them completely naked? And so just think about that Jesus was willing to get vulnerable to the point of airing it all out so that you and I could be restored into relationship with him. He got vulnerable for you. Do you know that? And do you believe it? Because when you believe it, it begins to inform how you see yourself, how you see Jesus, and how you see other people. Do you know? Do you know that Jesus humbled himself for you? I've been reading about this week when Jesus was in the upper room, which was the place where he had his last meal with his closest friends. And the Bible says, right before this powerful historical moment that maybe you've heard about, it says, at that moment, Jesus knew that all power had been placed into his hands. So basically, Jesus knew at that moment he was the most powerful man in the world. And what did Jesus do when he was the most powerful person in the room? Immediately after that is when we hear the story that Jesus took off his outer garment, got on his knees, and began to wash the feet of his disciples. Jesus was willing to humble himself. In that verse we looked at in Philippians, it goes on to say, Jesus made himself the form of a servant. He was willing to humble himself for you. Do you know that Jesus gave himself for you? Do you know that Jesus, when he was having that last meal with his followers, he said to them, "This is my body that's broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you." Jesus made himself an offering for you. Before you ever received it, before you ever did anything for him, Jesus offered himself to you. And here's what I know. I know that the deeper you know and believe that Jesus got vulnerable for you, it will give you the courage to get vulnerable in relationships. The deeper you know and believe that Jesus humbled himself for you, it'll give you the ability to be humble in your friendships. The deeper you know and believe that Jesus gave himself for you, you will be able to be generous in friendships. And that's ultimately what we all want. That's why in that 1 John scripture, it goes on to say this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." If you're afraid of being generous in a friendship, the way through that is to believe at deeper levels how generous Jesus was to you as a friend and is to you as a friend. If you're afraid of getting vulnerable, it's to believe at a deeper level just how vulnerable Jesus is willing to get for you. If you're afraid of being humble or you struggle with being humble, just be humbled by the reality that your creator was willing to wash the feet of his creation. And be willing, out of that, to not live in fear, but to risk connection and relationship. Hey, you know, one of the things that we're going to be calling all of us to is to engage in groups, to get into groups, to get into community. And we've got some ways that that's going to be happening, and we'll be talking about that as this series continues. But can I just tell you this? I wish I could promise you that the first group you get into at Crossroads will be the best group for you. I wish I could promise you that there won't be any know-it-all Neds in your group. I wish I could promise you that there won't be any Ted the Ticks in your group. I wish I could promise you there won't be any shallow Sals in your group. But I can't. You know why? Because everybody who's going to be in these groups at Crossroads are not perfect. And neither are you. But if you're willing to engage, if you're willing to have a trial and error mindset, if you're willing to say, hey, I'm going into this looking for friendships of love, trust, and acceptance, and I recognize that nobody's perfect, I'm not perfect, we're going to have to journey on this together. Man, if we can do that, then I think things can really change in your life and in our community. So here's the action step for this week. Here's the action step for this week. I'm asking you to pray about the relationships in your life. I'm asking you to specifically pray about relationships in your life this week. And to not just pray, but actually to fast and pray about that. Talk about challenge. I'm asking you to fast and pray. This is a week where all of us at Crossroads, everybody who calls Crossroads home, we're all together having a week of prayer and fasting. And I want you to be a part of this. So from Monday to Friday this week, we're going to do that. You can find more out about it at crossroads.net/prayer and fasting. But what we're doing is Monday through Friday, we are giving up something so we can get more of God. We are giving up something so we can go after God and access his power in incredible ways. We see over and over in the Bible that when collective groups of people who were following God were willing to fast and pray, miracles happened. And quite frankly, God's calling us to things this year that are going to take a miracle. And so we want to just fast and pray and say, God, we want to get your attention and we want you to know, we know we can't do this without you. So we want to fast and pray before you. What does that look like for some of us? Many of us, we're going to give up meals this week. Maybe all the meals this week. Maybe you're going to give up just breakfast this week. Maybe you're going to give up some type of food this week. For others of us, maybe for any reason, any number of reasons, we can't give up food. Hey, find something else to give up. Maybe it's giving up these screens that keep us from connecting this week. Maybe it's something else that you're going to give up. And here's what we're fasting for. Here's what we're believing God for in Crossroads this year. We want this to be a year where we reach more people for Jesus than we have ever reached before. We want to do that as a community this year. That's what we're going after. I'm excited. We got Crossroads Uptown opening next weekend. We're going to be reaching students in a way that we haven't been able to before, capacities we haven't been able to before. East Side is down the road. We're going to be reaching people on the east side of our city. More and more people are connecting via Crossroads anywhere. We've got these hosts popping up in all kinds of cities around the country saying, hey, I want to be a gatherer in my community for people to hear about Jesus in a language they can understand. And let me tell you something. We can't reach who we're called to reach without God's help. So we're fasting and praying that we would reach more people this week. We want to do that together. Together. And we're praying that this would be a year where everybody who's a part of our Crossroads community deepens in friendship and deepens in connection. We don't want only 3 out of 10 to be connected in community and growing in relationships and friendships. We want that to be 10 out of 10. And we are fasting and praying that God would do what we can't do, because God is able to do those kinds of things. And so I'm inviting you into that, and I want you to fast around that. And as you do, I want you to talk to God about the thing that's getting in the way of you going to the next level in your friendships. Because God is interested in your friendships this year. He's interested in you this year. He's interested in you connecting and relating with people who can help you grow. And so whatever it is that's in the way, pray about that this week. Be willing to engage with God around that this week. And as we do that as a community, I think we're going to experience more and more of us having the kind of friendships that can literally change our lives and change the world. Let's pray. God, I ask that this week, as we pray and fast for your power to show up in our ability to reach people and in our connections with each other, I pray that we would experience the miraculous. God, I pray that you would give great insight and wisdom to people this week, that you would show them the things that need to change. You may show them people they need to pursue. You may show them any number of things. And God, I'm just asking that those stories would be multiplied of people who say, I heard from God this week, maybe for the first time, or I heard from God this week and I've got direction around what community needs to look like in my life. God, only you can do what we're asking for. Only you can do what I believe you put in our hearts to desire. And that's to be connected to you and connect to other people. So God, I pray that you would do that this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Hey, next week we'll continue with this series. Don't forget the compassion experience.
Can we talk now?
Oh, Ted. Come on, Ted. Let's talk. All right, let's go. We'll see you guys next week.